The Harlem Quartet is on a mission to advance diversity in classical music. And as we'll hear first from violinist Ilmar Gavilan, the classically trained Harlem Quartet has learned that in order to diversify their audience, they needed to diversify their repertoire with jazz.
Yeah, at first we really sounded like opera singers trying to do a pop song.
Oh, and we know how bad that can be.
Thank you very much.
I won't name names here.
We used to apply the same vibrato and gorgeous sort of like smooth sonority, and it really did not go. So we start the process of ear training and listening to the horn players play jazz and try to emulate the attacks of the notes. The rhythmic component of it, it probably stay away from too much vibrato, unnecessary vibrato. And we just decided to wear a different hat. It's like wearing a costume and loving this new character. And at first, it was a game of role game. But now really it's becoming part of our DNA, and we really feel much easier in that language.
Did you start out with other people's arrangements of jazz standards, or did you do your own arrangements?
Yeah, at first we actually, and still we get arrangements, but we end up arranging the arrangements because we have to make it personal, and we see them as a draft or something to base our true performance on. And these days we take genuine solos, so we improvise a lot.
Well, clearly you were a quick study. You all were quick studies with embracing the jazz repertoire, because by 2013 you were playing and recording with the who's who in contemporary jazz. How did these collaborations come about with the likes of Chick Corea and others?
I mean, I wasn't there yet, but
you weren't.
But
born
I heard the
yet.
Story. I heard the story.
Jaime was a little violist.
Yeah, I think the quartet needed to play, or was called to play, the Chick Corea quartet, string quartet. The only piece that he wrote that he doesn't play. The quartet was subbing for another string quartet that couldn't make it. Should I say the name? Orion String Quartet, if I'm not.
Okay. That's and very yeah. democratic.
We don't give free promotion to the other side.
But when
of
they,
course, we love the Orion Quartet.
Of course.
When they lead you to a big break.
Right.
Yeah. But I think, from what I heard, it was such a short amount of time to prepare such a very different kind of piece that we weren't kind of accustomed to play. So at the beginning, we say no, because we didn't have time to do it and blah, blah, blah. But then our agent said, no, you should do it. You should do it. You have to do it. She pushed the quartet to do it. So the quartet ended up doing, and I think it went pretty well, because at the end, Ilmar said that Chick Corea went to him, and at the end, he said, you kill it. Ilmar didn't understand that terminology at that time. He thought that he really killed the piece and he's burning to the ground. But no, he really liked it. And after that, the rest is history. We got called to play a tour with him, not only in the States, but in Japan. We play and recorded in his album called Hot House. And the tune that we recorded is Mozart Goes Dancing. That one won a Grammy.
Tell us about Mozart going dancing. I think Mozart would have loved jazz. Certainly Bach would have. We know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, those composers, and still so many composers today, I feel, but especially people such as Bach, Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, so many of their works, if not all of their works, were a product of improvisation. And again, the whole genesis of the Chick Corea collaboration was before my time with the group as well. But I have had the pleasure of playing that piece, Mozart Goes Dancing, and so many of Chick's other works as well with him. And the first time I looked at the music and sat down, we read through it, I'm like, this is exactly what it would be like if Mozart were to go dancing. This would be his style. I could just see him, and I get the image from the film Amadeus, and he's doing that trademark laugh, and like all these images came to mind when playing this piece. It's really a wonderful piece of music that Chick was gracious enough to write a string quartet part on top of what he already had.
So tell us, when you go out to perform in venues such as Sylvan Hills Middle School, what is the order of the program? How do you bring the kids on board?
That's a really great question, and it's one that took us years to learn and many mistakes to learn, because the kids are the most honest audience. So if you don't grab them by the palm of, you know, right away, they will just let you know. They start giggling or talking to each other, even the best behave. So we don't really have a formula. There's no such a thing. We have to sort of sense the audience and limit or expand the time of our pieces depending on how we are sensing that response. For instance, we developed this system that in the middle of a movement, if it's just we think it's enough, somebody will just give us a look and just create a cadence. Dum dum, the end. And then we jump with new energies. Hey, so what did you like this piece, this and that? And try to just grab them right back. Mm-hmm. And another really good tactic is to switch genres. So we have this luxury because we have different styles. So let's say we're doing a minuet by any of the classicals, Haydn, Mozart. We right away talk about the dance components of the minuets that people used to actually groove to that, and quickly switch to something that they might relate to immediately, and play some salsa tunes or some jazz tunes that they see, oh, this is also dance-like. And they make that connection in real time in a much better way than all of my history classes together. Because every time I heard that, you know, minuet is a dance, I'm like, really? When I also lead it, I wasn't really like, how? So we sort of treat them like we would have liked to be treated when we were little, and not just say, stop talking or pay attention to me. No, if you have that much, if you have something so interesting to say, you don't have to scream at them or just, you know, make them feel bad. Just create more interest, and that's kind of our
that's so true
policy.
Yeah, and another thing about playing for children, as Ilmar was saying, they're the most honest audience that you can play for, is that you essentially have to have as much energy as all of them combined. Otherwise, it'll be like a tidal wave just swallowing you up.
What have been some heartening stories? You must have had comments or stories from some of the kids who've approached you after concerts.
That's very true. I think one show that stands out the most is when we performed at a school for the deaf and blind. And so we had this on our itinerary. And when we looked at it, we thought, you know, we'll play anywhere, but I'm not quite sure if they're going to be able to appreciate what we do at the School for the Deaf and Blind. And to our own ignorance, it was one of the best we've ever had. And so it was an entire auditorium filled with the whole school, and they were able to feel our energy, the blind, and the deaf were able to see it. And to see them exchange with each other and be able to express the sense that their friends didn't have and share that was absolutely magical. And it blew our mind because we didn't know what to expect. But we'll never forget it. Like, even just thinking about it again, it gives me chills. It was a really nice experience.
Oh, that's extraordinary. Were the deaf students experiencing through vibration?
Mm-hmm, through the vibration. So it was a hardwood auditorium. And they were able to feel, especially with the cello in pin into the floor, they could really feel the low vibrations, especially.
Certainly, you are cultural ambassadors. Have you noticed any shifts, improvements in audience diversity, in diversity among classically trained musicians as well?
Little by little, we read very hopeful data. The numbers are not huge, but we can tell you to our concerts, we know from presenters that the numbers are very big. And we notice also, and I don't mean this negatively at all, because some audience that are used to classical concerts know not to clap between movements. So when we hear a clap, we actually get happy. It means they are new people. And we don't care what ethnicity they are from. You know, the fact that they are new and we attracted them makes us feel very good. And we always validate and say, please, I'm sure in most of times that would have been the case. And the presenters also, you know, tell us, and I'm very thankful that, you know, his wonderful audience got a little bit more diverse with people clapping and people looking different than they're used to because of us. So I don't know if the entire, you know, classical family is being enriched with more diversity, but I know that groups like ourselves do a role that is significant.
I think it's very helpful, though, to have programs such as the Atlanta Music Program, because it's important that young people have the opportunity to experience what it is like to play music. It's such a cultural tool. It's an important cultural tool, and it's one that can allow them to travel the world. And so in their early stages of learning the technique and what it means to play these tunes, what it means to interpret this music as communication is a very important thing to do, but it's hard. That's not the fun part unless you make it fun. So it's really nice that there are programs such as this to be able to make it fun for the kids, make it kind of like a camp so they can go through it together. And then I'm really happy that they brought us down to have this experience, because it is a worldwide thing, but until you're able to travel the world, it's nice that you can see people like you come do it and see the opportunities that are available.
Yes, and hats off to the Atlanta Music Project.
Absolutely.
And the Sphinx Organization.
Yes.
Particularly when we're seeing the arts programs disappear in public schools.
Right.
It's essential that you do what you do. And I thank you for it. This has been a joy. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.